Let's look, if you will, in verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God. Let's stand. You all need to stretch anyway, don't you? I get my microphone on. Oh, we're in good shape here. We're going to have church. Here we go. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the affliction, and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to meet together. And God, we certainly would ask, please, that you would come down, Lord, and meet with us. Now, Lord, we have Bible promises and Bible assurance that you're here. We know that you're here, because where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are. And Lord, we're here in your name. Lord, we don't want you just to be an attendee. We want you to be what it's all about. Lord, we ask, dear God, that you'd touch and do what needs to be done. Lord, keep us open-hearted as we study the Bible. I want to thank you for these young men, Lord. And most of them that came in here just tonight and have worked so hard and done such a good job, Lord, they just graduated or are preparing to graduate. I pray that you take their lives, God. Oh, God, please. Lord, send reinforcements to the front lines. Help them, Lord, to stay strong, stay steady. Help them, Lord, to find your perfect will from this point on and to do it. Lord, I pray, dear God, for these 9 young people, Lord, that you would bless them. Help me, Lord, as I talk to them and then talk to the church a little bit about them. Pray that you'd give us some good Bible instruction tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me take a moment, young church, and let me go through and let you know what our young people are doing. We've had it printed up in our bulletin, so I'm just going to use it, go down and tell you a little bit about what's going on in the lives of our young people that are going to Bible college. Justin Daffron is praying right now. He will be going back to Bible college in January 08. He feels like probably at this point he's leaning towards Shawnee, but he's not positive about that, so you might recruit him. He's right there. You guys just, all 5, you get around him and beat the stuff out of him, all right, and tell him if you don't come to Providence, you'll come back and visit him again, amen. But Shawnee Baptist, where he's kind of leaning, of course, Brother Mattingly's doing a wonderful job down there. Yes. Great job training young people. Good preacher college right there. Justin went to college and then went a year and a half. And and I hope I'm not embarrassing you because I'm proud of him. But he ended up getting in a little debt problem. Got a little bit behind financially. And with his counsel from his parents and his pastor, he came home. He's been home about 6 months. Let me just tell you this, and maybe I'm giving too much information, but he's just gone to work around here. And for the last 6 months, he's paid off over $6,300 worth of debt. And you know what? He's doing the right thing. He's getting back on track, ready to go. And by January, he'll be, we feel like, debt-free and ready to go back and to continue studying for the ministry. So pray for him. And folks, let me tell you something. Everything's part of our training. And I'm very proud of Justin, very proud of what he's doing here. And pray for direction in his life. Pray that, I told him by October 1st, you decide or I'm going to. We're going to fill some paperwork out and we're going to get you registered to go. And he said he knows God wants him back in Bible college by January, so that's what we're going to do. Abigail English is going to Shawnee Baptist College, and this is Abigail's first year graduate. Last May, Blessed Hope Baptist School, and we're very, very proud of her. And I'm excited for you, Abigail. I really am. I know all of these. I'm not going to stop and make comments about all the colleges, but let me say this. I know all of these colleges intimately. I know their preachers. I know the pastors of the church. And I feel very good about every one of these situations, sending our young people to be pastored by these men. Cassie Evans is going to Providence Baptist College. And she graduated. She graduated this past May also. Cassie's a product of the bus ministry here and has been working hard as a bus worker for many years, along with being a bus kid. And it just is a joy to her preach her. She has such a good personality, such a good, sweet spirit about her. And I love her dearly, and I'm excited for you. And I'm not going to do this tonight. I'm going to stay strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm back. I'm okay as long as I don't look him in the eye, brother. I'm all right. So I'll just keep looking at this paper here, you know. Chad Gordon went to Commonwealth, attended there last year, represented Blessed Hope Baptist Church, his mom and dad, and the Lord Jesus Christ very well. A hard worker. I don't have to tell you much about Chad. His testimony speaks for him. He's talked to me on several occasions. I want you to pray for him, direction in his life. He's going back this year, and he knew God wanted to at least go a second year, and he's seeking God's will and direction. Amen. What I like about this young man is he's willing to do whatever God wants him to do.
Amen.
I mean, if he gets a clear call, clear signal, he's going to do whatever the Lord tells him to do.
Amen.
And he's going to have to babysit Rachel this year. He's going to take Rachel, his younger sister. Man, I feel sorry for any guy that messes around with you. Looks at you, talks to you, walks the same hallway as you. I don't know, girl, whether you're going to get a husband there or not. That's all right, Chad. You just keep an eye on her, amen. Rachel is just a wonderful soul. She's a gracious spirit, and she's a servant. And I'm going to miss her around here. She's been a blessing to this preacher, blessing to the church. Just had a meek and quiet spirit, just served behind the scenes. And always supported her preacher, always supported the ministry here. And, you know, no matter what the youth group was doing or which way it was leaning, you didn't have to worry about where she was. And, you know, things come and go and people come and go. But thank God for the core group that just, they stay on track. And she's just been one of those gals. Caleb just Caleb Hall just came off of an entire summer, took a full load of summer school, completed 25 hours this summer of school. By the way, if you've never done anything like that, that's amazing. He's going to take 16 hours in the fall, 16 hours in the spring, and he's going to take just a little bit of credits in the next summer, and he'll be done. And he's got the call of God upon his life. I see the evidences of the call. I have no doubt in my mind that God's put his hand upon him and called him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's attending Hiles Anderson College. Pray for him as he finishes up. This is last year. He's just got two semesters and some in the summer, and he'll be done. And Lindsay Klein surprised me here a while back. Lindsay's always been a young lady that's been tender to the will of God. I've never doubted that, never doubted that. When she graduated from high school, I talked to her about Bible college, and she said, "Brother Jerry, I really feel like I want to be here for a while, so I don't fuss with you. If that's what you tell me and you've prayed about it and I feel like you have, then that's fine." But she's been around here a couple of years, very involved in this church. And she caught me this past summer, and she said, early, and she said, "Brother Jerry, I need to have a meeting with you sometime." You know, it's one of those busy times. So we were standing up here, and I said, "Okay, there's a pew. Let's sit down and have a meeting." I said, "What you need?" And right here she said, "Brother Jerry, God's been working on my heart, and I need to go train somewhere." So I've been volunteering down in the Christian school, and I feel like God's inclining my life in that direction, Christian education. I want to go to Bible college. And I said, "Do you have anything in mind?" We talked for a while, and she mentioned West Coast, and she's going to California. Can you believe that? What in the world's wrong with you, girl? And going to California. And she's going to attend West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about this. Brother Paul Chappell's a solid man with a good ministry out there. I have no doubt that they'll do a good job training her. And so pray for her. Pray for the Kleins. Amen. And Brother Klein's going to fly out with her. They're going to take everything they can on the plane. And when they get out there, they're going to buy the rest. And if you've checked shipping costs, that's probably a pretty smart move. And so anyway, I'm excited about what God's going to do in your life, Lindsay Klein. And then there's this girl named Hannah Ross. Now, she's a problem. And we've pretty much given up what we can do with her, so we're going to try to send her to Bible college and see if maybe they can straighten her out for us. So Hannah went to, of course, she's been in Bible college now for 2 years. And one semester, if you remember, she ended up having to come home because of viral hepatitis. But she lost a semester, but now she's going to go back in January. And boy, we ought to heard all the talking to get this thing done. She had to talk hard to Daddy, but see, she wants to skip the fall semester and finish one more semester because in October she wants to get married. And so somehow we got talked into that, so we're going to let her get married. And then she's going to, Gerald's finished college, finished his master's degree last year, and they're going to get married in October, and he's going to work while she's finishing up in the spring. And then when she's finished, they're going to, in earnest, starting in May of next year, seeking where they should go and serve the Lord. And so if you'll pray for them, I'm excited about that. You know, I've just got a little bit of daddy in me here, okay? So I'm pleased with what they're doing. Ashley Walton went to Grace Baptist College last year and completed her first year at Bible college. And then the crazy girl wouldn't come home and decided to go on tour group and travel with the tour group all summer. And we've just been able to have her for, what, about 3 weeks here. We'll have you home. And Ashley, let me just tell you something. I check on you. By the way, I check on all of you. And I can't find a person up there that says anything bad about you. And they say that you're doing a great job. And I'm very, very proud of you. She's represented Blessed Hope Baptist Church properly and well. She's represented the Lord Jesus Christ and her family well. And you know, these things are important, young people. Yes, they are. They're important. They are. And she's done the right thing, gone up there and kept a good testimony. And gone the extra mile, doing very, very well at Grace Baptist College up there with Brother Jenkins. Now, I've said all of that. It's 8:05, and there's still a sermon. Some of you are scared to death. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you this is going to be a short message, but I don't think it's going to be as long as normal. Let's look at the scripture. Young people, I want you to listen to your preacher, and I'm just going to give you some words tonight, a charge, if you'll let me use that word, a charge. By the way, I know that the scriptures that we read were written by the Apostle Paul under divine inspiration. I know that they were for a preacher boy. But the principles, I think, apply very, very well to any young person that's going off and preparing in any way to serve the Lord. And I want to give you some charges here. So I want you to listen to what I have to say. And church, listen also. Because everything that I'm going to ask of them, they have a right to ask of us. The saddest thing in the world is for a young person to go off to Bible college, come back in 4 years and find out that the home church isn't what it used to be when she left or when he left. That's a sad thing. You know, we want them to go up and do it right. Well, you know what? We need to keep the home fires burning here. We need to keep Blessed Hope Baptist Church a good, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. We don't need to get in the compromising business. There's enough churches in the compromising business. We don't need to go there and be with that crowd. There's enough of them that say independent fundamental on the sign. You walk in, you think you landed in an evangelical church. There's enough of that nonsense going on. We're just going to stay the course here. Now let me give you some charges. Look at verse number 1. First of all, I want to charge you as you leave here to remember Christ. Now young people, listen to me. This may be the first and best piece of advice I can give you. There is nothing more important than staying focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any other underlying motive to what you're doing, then I think you're going to end up in trouble. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, I want you to represent Blessed Hope properly. You know, everything that that college and that church thinks about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they're going to think about it through you. Right. And that's the honest truth. Now, that may be unfair to us, or it may be fair to us. They may think less than what we really are, or if you're really outstanding, they may think more than what we really are. Well, let me just say this. I'm glad you want to represent your church, and I'm glad you want to represent your family. And by the way, that's important too. You know, a good name's important. But more than anything else, every decision that you make ought to be under the guise of thinking about what this is going to say about my Lord and Master Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is the one that you have in the forefront of your mind, if Jesus Christ is the one you have your eyes focused upon, then you know what? You will be able to run the race and you'll be able to complete what God has set before you to do. So number one, I charge you to remember Christ. You keep Him number one in your life. There is no greater title that you can carry than that of a Christian, because that title associates you with the name of Jesus Christ. So I want you to please Him, number one. Number two, I want to charge you to reverence His Word. Look at verse number two. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preaching, it talks about preaching here. Preaching the Word of God. I've taught you, young people, that you ought not to despise prophesying. Now let me give you a little statistic here, and this is interesting. It'll help you. You know, in the next year as you go to Bible college, in the next 9 months that you're in Bible college, on average, you will have a man of God stand before you with an open Bible to either preach or teach the Word of God over 900 times in the next 9 months. Over 900 times in the next 9 months. Now let me just give you a comparison. You know, the average church member here in the next 9 months will hear about 200, hear a man of God preach or teach about 200 times. You're going to hear it over 900 times. Wow. By the way, that's why Bible college makes a difference in a young person's life. I'll tell you this, you will never, for the rest of your life after Bible college, ever be in an atmosphere of that much concentrated Bible teaching and preaching ever again. Now let me say this. There's kids that go up and sit there 900 times, and you know what? They don't come out any different than when they went in.
Amen.
You know why? Because they despise prophesying. Now what I've taught you here and what you must do is every single time, for every single Bible class, every single chapel service, every single special meeting, every time the Word of God is preached, you show up with a candle. Don't you show up with a rock. You show up with a candle and you say, God, you do something in my heart through this message, through this class, and you let the Word of God have full impact in your life. Get it all, young person. Get it all. And that means if you go 4 years, you're going to have a concentrated 4-year stretch of over 3,500 times where somebody stands for you with the Word of God. Now, if you're not careful, you're going to miss out one of the main reasons that you're going. Brother Jerry, I'm going to go to study this. I'm going to go to study that. I'm going to go study this. Let me just rearrange all that in your thinking. I'm giving you your major right now. Here's your major, Bible. Bible is your major. I don't care what it says on your diploma, Bible's your major. I don't care what title you come out of there with, Bible's your major. Brother, everything's got to revolve around this book right here. Now let me say something else about that. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, 900 times I'm going to hear the Bible preached or taught. Yes, and that will not ever take the place of you personally studying and reading your Bible every single day. You know, let me just remind you, we got the page open right there. But in verse number 14 it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Bible college is a continuation of the things that you've learned here. It is. It's the building higher upon a good foundation that you've received. Amen. I don't want to send our kids to a Bible college that thinks they got to take a sledgehammer and destroy everything that for 18 years Blessed Hope Baptist Church has put into a young person's life. I like Bible colleges to understand the difference between a Bible college and a local New Testament church.
Amen.
And you've been given a good foundation, but you don't know everything. And what you have an opportunity to learn, you won't just learn by somebody else opening the Bible. You've got to get into it for yourself. Now, you must read your Bible. You must read your Bible. I, on purpose, and this is the first time I've done this since I've pastored, but this isn't my normal preaching Bible. Let me tell you what this is. Yeah, that Bible's got my name in gold on it. This is a Bible that was given to me when I graduated from high school, like y'all received when you graduated from high school, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, back in 1979 as a graduating senior. I came up here and they handed me this Bible with my name in gold, emblazoned upon it. This is the Bible I carried for my first year and a half of Bible college. And then I put it away. The wear and tear you see on this Bible is the wear and tear that that happened in a year and a half of Bible college. I think it was in Bible college for the first time I really discovered this book for myself. And I read it and I studied it. And I loved it and I wore it out. And I've got this thing laying beside my recliner. And every morning, this is the Bible that I use to do my morning devotions. I get up every morning, and I make coffee, I open my Bible, and I read slowly and meaningfully, hopefully, 5 chapters of the Bible every single morning. I read out of this Bible right here. That gets me through the Bible about 1.5 times every year, 3 times every 2 years. This is the Bible I use. You say, why? Well, Brother Jerry, surely you got one better shape than this. I hope so. But you know what? This reminds me of something. It reminds me of what I came from. Now listen to me. That's been 28 years ago. 28 years from now, I want you to somewhere have in your possession a Bible that was given to you by Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want you to still be serving God 28 years from now. I want you to be right smack in God's will 28 years from now. If you're to be in the ministry, I want you in the ministry 28 years from now. And let me tell you what's going to determine whether or not you're there or not, what you do with this book right here. You can't live off everybody else's spirituality. And some of you, I don't know, you know, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But you know what? It's going to get real. Life's going to get real. Somewhere along the first year of college, you're going to have to find God if you're going to make it. You're going to have to find God. And so let me just tell you this, to love your Bible and read your Bible, and I charge you to reverence His Word. So number one, I charge you to remember Christ. I charge you to reverence His Word. Number three, I charge you to realize the times. Young people, let me just quickly look at verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, young people, the Bible says here in verse 3, for the time will come. Can I just share this with you? It has come. It's here. It's here now. You're living in it. It's your generation. It's your time of life. We're there. Christians don't want to hear sound doctrine. After their own lust, because of their own lust, they want teachers that'll just tickle their ears. And that is the majority of those out there in the world that claim to be Christians. But come as you are, leave as you were. Churches are growing leaps and bounds. While many people are vacating the pews of independent fundamental Baptist churches, you know why? They don't want to hear the truth. They're tired of hearing it. They want to go somewhere where someone's going to pat them on the head every single Sunday morning, give them a cookie, and send them out the door. And but let me tell you something, that kind of a church won't produce soldiers of the cross. It won't. It won't. You know, I like ice cream, but you can't feed an army ice cream and have them perform on the battlefield. And this, you know, these ice cream churches, ice cream pulpits, they're not going to produce soldiers. You see, we're in the last days, young people. Now, we're an independent fundamental Baptist church, and we're sending you into an independent fundamental Baptist colleges. Without apology. Seems crazy for me to rear young people in an independent fundamental Baptist church and send them somewhere that's not independent fundamental Baptist. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Haven't trained to serve God. And so the reason we're sending you to these places is because we want you to stay on the old paths. Listen, this isn't a time to dip your sails. I don't care what kind of a carnal roommate you may end up with. You ought to have the same standards or better standards, not less than what you left here with. You stay on the old paths. You stay separated. You know, you're going to hear the whispers in the dorms. There's always a carnal crowd everywhere. You got to be careful. Don't you hook up with scorners in college. You get up on the front row. You get up with the crowd that loves God and excited about the things of God. But you sit near the back in chapel with a bunch of scorners. They'll ruin you. They will ruin you. You see, they'll cause that whole experience to be a waste of time. Instead of you going forward, you'll end up going backwards. Young people, listen to me. That's what is happening in this day and age. We need young people that'll stay the course. Now, we are in the last days. Don't be surprised to look around and see people vacate the premises. I've had some young people. I'm not going to it, and I love the young people involved. We've had some recently jump ship around here. They've decided to trade in the old paths for the new paths.
They turned around and scorned. They got around scorners and they became a scorner. And you know, all of a sudden they're an expert on everything. Very church that led them to the Lord Jesus Christ, now they want to criticize and run down. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. I mean, God predicted that was going to happen. And you know what? The whole thing is a weeding out process. I mean, are you going to stand or are you going to run? Are you going to stay the course? Are you going to stand for the old book? Or are you just putting on a show so that as soon as you turn that magical 18, you know, all of a sudden you can go do whatever you want to do? Well, it was in your heart all the time anyway. You see. And that's why I'm proud of these young people up here. They've paid a price. They've made some hard decisions. And they're going to good places. Now realize that this is it. You're in the last days. A lot of people are jumping ship. A lot of people are dropping their standards. A lot of people are trading in their King James Bibles. They're excusing away, not dressing right, not living right. They're so affected and infected by Hollywood crowd and the world's entertainment, it's just about ruined them. And what you need to do is just stay the course. Stay the course. You know, we don't need any more jumping ship. We need somebody to get over there and start steering the ship. Amen. I mean, young people, this is where we're at. Let me give you number four. I charge you to review the basics. Let's look at verse 5. There's four verbs here. Verse 5, underline them. First verb is watch. Second is endure. The third is do. The last one is make. Well, this is the whole sermon, but let me just give you some basics here to remember. Verse 5, be alert. Watch thou in all things. Be alert. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Walk about seeking whom he may devour. By the way, he roams the hallways of Bible colleges too. Be alert, watch, 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 watch thou in all things. Be careful what you get involved in, who you get involved with. Number two, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Let me just tell you something, young people. It's all exciting when you're getting ready to go. But you know what you're going to find out? It's like anything else. There's days that are just hard. Not everything's going to go right. There's going to be times when you're homesick. There's going to be times when the devil's sitting on your shoulder telling you, I made a mistake and I just need to go back home. You know what you need to do? You need to endure afflictions. It's going to get hard. Sure, it's going to get hard. Guess what, kids? Life's hard. Guess what? Mom and Dad's not there to fix everything anymore. There's just a toughness that you've got to develop. And this is a good place to develop some toughness in your life. Be alert. Endure afflictions. Keep soul winning. Do the work of an evangelist. Keep soul winning. Now listen, don't you stop soul winning and go to Bible college. Now, we've trained you to be soul winners, taught you to be soul winners, saw that you were involved in soul winning. We're not sending you to Bible college so you can not go soul winning. Now, I think most places are going, they wouldn't allow it anyway, but you know, you can say you went soul winning, never went soul winning, go to Bible college. Don't forget the things about souls and listen, become a good soul winner and train to be a good soul winner and develop and get around good soul winners and listen, if that's all, and I don't think that it will be, but that's all accomplished with your Bible college experience, that you come back a better soul winner, then you have spent money wisely. Well worth your time. So do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry. And what that means is maximize your potential. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know what, young people? You're capable of doing things you don't even know yet. Right. Yeah. Every once in a while, you're going to get stretched and challenged. Step up to the challenge. Allow God to develop some things in your life. Maximize your potential. Make full proof of the ministry. So I charge you to review the basics. Let me say a word about verse 6 and 7. I charge you to redeem what I'm going to call the vapor, or redeem your life. Notice what Paul says after he makes this charge. He says this, for I am now ready to be offered. And all of a sudden he's gone from talking to Timothy to talking about himself. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. But wait a minute, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about himself so that Timothy can learn something. You know what the old man was saying here? And I'm not being disrespectful. You know what the old missionary was saying here? The old preacher was saying here? He's saying, son, you better do these things. You know why? Because I've only got a few days left. My generation's passing off the scene. And if there's not young Timothy's coming up, then what are we going to do? Amen. So listen, your life's a vapor, young person. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, I'm young and I'm in Bible college and woo! man alive, I got my whole life ahead of me, and you're going to blink and blink and blink, and you're going to be middle-aged, and you're going to blink and blink some more, and this life's going to be over. So you know what? Get to it and do it.
Amen.
While you got life to live, do it. While you got the strength of youth, invest it. Invest it in the right things. James says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. So remember, it's going to come to the end of your life pretty soon. You're only going to have one chance to do this thing. And so you know what? Do it right. Do it right. Take these years of Bible college experience and get everything that God wants you to get out of it so that you can live your life to the fullest and make the greatest impact you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, I charge you to reach for the crown. Verse 8, reach for the crown. Now, young people, you're going to get discouraged, but let me just say this, stay faithful. Sister Tanya Burcham sang this morning as a special my favorite song. And everybody's got a favorite song, but I've got that as my favorite song. I love the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know what? I don't know if there's a more important attribute as far as for me that God possesses than faithfulness. I need a faithful God.
Amen.
I need a God that doesn't change, not blown around. Doesn't, you know, every morning you got to throw your hat towards heaven to see which way he's leaning. Yeah, I mean, God's God. God doesn't change. God stays faithful. Young people, he's coming one of these days. He's going to bring some rewards with him. Live a life that will not make you ashamed at his coming. Live the kind of life, a faithful life, a life lived in anticipation of his coming so that you can receive the crown of righteousness when he appears. Now, church, listen to me. If you're living in dread of the coming of Jesus Christ, you're not going to receive that crown of faithfulness, that crown of righteousness, excuse me. You're not going to receive it. Some Christians almost dread every day that Christ might come and interrupt their life. Then there's the other ones that get up every morning, look towards the eastern sky and says, Lord, maybe today, Lord, would you come today, Lord? You see, those that are looking for Jesus and longing for Jesus, be glad at his coming, there's a special crown they're going to receive. Whether you're excited about Christ coming or dreading Christ coming, the honest truth is determined by how you're living and what you're doing. So young people, live every single day in anticipation of the coming Christ, looking forward to his coming, and living in such a way that you will not be ashamed at his coming. Let me give you the last one. Verse 9. I like this little verse. You know, I'm glad that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You say, Brother Jerry, this is just a personal footnote, just a little love note from Paul to Timothy. It also teaches us something, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. I charge you to remember Christ, to reverence his word, to realize the times, to review the basics, redeem the vapor, reach for the crown, and I charge you to return home. Even if it's for an occasional visit. So don't forget the home folk. Don't forget the home church. We will send prayer support. We'll send you a monthly check to help you out just a little bit. We'll pray for you. If you need something, you call me. Day or night, you call me. I'll see to it that every one of you gets my personal cell phone number, and I mean that. If you need anything, you call. And you need to talk, you call. And anytime, doesn't matter, anytime, you call me. But come back and see us. Yeah, I know how Bible college is, and I know it's busy, and I know you get involved and excited, but let me just say something, and if it ticks off everybody out there in Bible college, I'll just stop sending them students. Amen. So, but the church back home needs to see these kids every once in a while.
Yes, sir. You're right. Amen.
It does our church good for you to come back from time to time and visit.
Yes, sir.
Now, Lindsay, I know it's going to be a little difficult for you. And I know for the rest of you, sometimes it's expensive, and sometimes but I want you home a couple times every semester if you can be. I want you to sneak off a weekend. And you come home. You know why? There's some kids around here that need to see you. And I'll say this too. It's good just to come home and hit some reset buttons every once in a while. Remember your roots. Get a chance to hug some necks and thank some people that's invested a ton in you. For 18 years, your mom and your dad and people this church has loved you and helped you prepare. And we won't forget you. We're excited about what God's going to do for you. And so we're taking this Sunday night, folks, to charge our college students. And everything that I said that we should expect of them, they have a right to expect for us. They ought to be able to look home and see a church and a pastor that remembers Jesus Christ, and Christ is number one in their life. They ought to be able to brag in the dorms that they've got a church that reverences the Word of God. They ought to be able to talk about the fact that our church realizes that we're in the last days, and we act like we know it. They ought to be able to tell the folks up at Bible College that there's a church back in Jasonville that haven't forgot the basics of the ministry. It realizes that life's just a vapor and are excited about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And every once in a while you say, you know what? I miss those folks. I'm going to go home and see them. You come on home. And we won't let you stay very long. Lord knows we'll need to fatten you up. You'll die trying to live on college food, amen? And get some home cooking. Come home, listen to your preacher. Let us catch up on what you're doing. And you know what? We'll kick you back out of here and send you back to where you belong. But we want to see you from time to time. I'm going to have Brother Ryan, sir. I don't think I told you this. And maybe I could get Brother Tom. Would you help him? We've got some gifts in there on the desk. As you step inside of the thing. And I want to have our young people come up here. Young people, girls, could I have you stand over here? Gentlemen, could I have you stand here? Those of you that will be returning to college sometime during this college year. We want to give you something that will hopefully be a blessing and a help to you. And then we're going to have a church time, special prayer for you. And this won't be a one-time event. He's making a call in there. But I want you to think wherever you're at on a Wednesday night, that I want you to remember that at the end of every Wednesday night service, there's people kneeling all over this church. And one of the names they're calling out is y'all's name. I want you to remember when you're sitting in the church you're sitting in, listening to that second-rate pastor. Back home, there's a real man of God that loves you. And we'll, from time to time, send you a sermon tape just keep you from starving to death. Right. Amen. So. You got a preacher home that cares about you. You got parents here that care about you. You got Sunday school teachers taught you when you were 2 or 3 years old, and they still care about you. You got people that worked with you while you were in the teen group, and they care about you. And we're here for you. You want to just hand them out? Yeah, so those are the guys. We tried to find masculine paper. So it's got trout on it and fishing lures and all that stuff. And then they got this girl stuff. All right, when I say 1, 2, 3, everybody open them. First one that opens it, you're going to run it for everybody else. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I want to see how these girls open. Yeah, they're good, good. We're not going to reuse the paper. Just tear it up. One of you hold it up, guys. One of you guys hold it up. We're going to give them a real nice 2007 edition Bible program. This is this new techo generation, you know. So they don't even bring their Bible to church. They just show up with a laptop, amen. And that'll be a blessing and help to you. And it's a good one. It has not only the Bible on it, but it's got many, many good reference books. It'll be at your fingertips. It'll help you out. Well, church, we want to pray, don't we? Let's stand together. If I could have the parents of these young people come forward, I'm going to have you come join them. Come on up and stand by your youngin'. Halfway during the prayer, you can switch, all right? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Amen. Cassie belongs to all of us. Amen. She belongs to all of us. And we want to pray for you. We want to ask God's blessing on you. And what I'd like to do is, for most of your years of growing up, Pastor Ross was your pastor. I'm going to have him come up here, and I want him to say a word of prayer over you and for you. And I want you to hear his voice praying for you before you take off and get out of here. So if you'll come, Pastor.
And Lord, we don't have the right to approach you any other way. It's because of him, his finished work. And now, Lord, we need you to help us. We need you to help these young people. We need you to bless in a very unusual way in each one of their lives. Lord, they've been so precious to us down through the years. Now to see them and up front here ready, prepared, some of them have already been to college, but others now are going, is such a blessing to this church. And Lord, I want to thank you for that great privilege that you've given this church. Thank you for our pastor, Pastor Jerry, and how he's taught and helped them along the way and helped to guide them and direct them. And Lord, now we want you, Father, to empower their lives. Help them, Father, to just stay on the right track.
Yes.
To always, God, be walking with you and having Jesus Christ as that one who they look to constantly. Now, Father, we certainly love them, but we want to also thank you for their parents, the people's meant so much in their lives. Lord, to this church and its people who've been such a blessing to them. Father, once again, we commit them to you. We place them in your hands. We ask you, God, to guide and direct as you have promised you would do. You will instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. You'll guide us with your eye.
Yes.
And we ask for that. And now, God, as we send them off, Father, please, please protect them. Put a hedge of thorns around them, Lord, to drive away anything that would be wrong influence in their life. And then, Lord, we're going to look forward to be able to see what you're going to do with them. And we're going to thank and praise you for them. Now use them to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.